welcome to Wham Bam Pow. This is a very nasally host, Rhea Butcher. I am back in Los Angeles after being on the road a bunch, and so I'm sick, which is what happens to me every time. That's what it's like to live in Los Angeles. And my co-host for this evening, Coco Palau himself.
Coco Palau!
Coco Palau, Ricky. Ooh,
that
Harmony.
Was really good right there.
Palau. Thank you.
See, if you're too formal, it sounds weird.
Right?
You drop them letters, Coco Palau.
Coco Palau.
Yeah, people be like, oh, I know what you're talking about.
You gotta open your mouth a little bit.
This is big and sloppy.
That's the problem. I am from a region where we do not open our mouths a lot, and we speak through our noses quite a bit. Spanish, basically any romance language is very hard. although I can fake my way through French pretty good. I find that if you just giggle after you say something, they believe you. So just try that. If you're traveling through Canada, just giggle a bunch, and they'll be like, oh. She's French.
My French go-to is to always sound like I'm not done talking.
Yes.
Like, is he going to finish that statement?
Yeah. When I speak Spanish, I just go, ¿Cómo está? Like, I'm trying to think of the next thing, and then they'll just finish the sentence for me. Be like, sí, sí, yeah. So that was our Rosetta Stone for the evening.
That's right. Send us that $7.95.
You have now learned Spanish and French. But how are you doing, Ricky?
I'm doing well. How are you, Rhea? Outside of your nasalness, that sounds terrible. It's been a minute.
I know, it's been a minute. It has been a minute. Weirdly, well, number one, I forgot to introduce that this is a sci-fi and action movie podcast.
That is what we talk about.
We talk about movies, and specifically this episode, we'll be talking about two movies.
What?
That's right, two movies.
We've
never reviewed two movies at once, we're doing it for the first time because this is our 100th episode.
Zero to 100, Bob, real quick. That's it.
I got 99 problems, but this episode ain't one. So
99
yes,
love balloons.
Exactly.
Plus one. Episode
one balloon, balloonk, please.
Balloonk.
So yes, we talk about movies, and we are gonna spoil them. Mm. And again, there are two movies that are in theaters right now. Mm-hmm. The two movies that we're gonna be reviewing today are The Avengers: Age of Ultron. Finally. And we're also going to be reviewing Mad Max Fury Road again.
Again?
Because I went to see it again. I also was very tired when we reviewed it the last time. You all remember. Mm-hmm. And I felt as though I didn't give it, see, I'm doing an
¿Cómo se dice?
Exactly. I didn't do a good job. That's what I think. I didn't give it its full credit where credit was due. Mm. And I went and saw it again, and I wanted to talk about it again. And I feel like you guys will be into that, right? Yes, you are. You're all nodding your heads at your desks or in your cars on your bikes. Wait, you shouldn't be listening to this on your bikes. At home, doing whatever you're doing. You're nodding. So we're going to do that.
You can't listen to this on a bike?
Not while you're biking, no. It's very dangerous. You should never wear headphones on a bicycle.
Get out of here.
No. I will not leave. I'm recording a podcast.
get back in here.
No, because you can't hear traffic. And hearing traffic is a big part of riding your bike. And it's also a big part of driving, which is why headphones in cars are illegal. Now, you can't wear both earphones.
That does seem crazy to me, but I feel like it's also been years since I've ridden a bike.
Sure.
Let me preface it with that.
Seriously, last night, wearing Beats in a car.
Oh, wow.
And I was like, you idiot, you are going to die.
See, but yes, what I do is I turn the radio all the way up so I can't hear anyway.
Sure.
But then you people like you who will judge me with my headphones on.
Oh, yeah.
Sans judging.
Exactly. Well, I'm sans judgment right now, but don't wear headphones on a bike, please.
I will not do that.
Okay, please don't do
I'm
that.
I'll also probably never own a bike again.
Yeah, you do live in Los Angeles. It's impossible.
Yeah.
But we'll be back right after this with some news, reviews, and things you can use after this. Did I say after this twice? Who cares?
You did.
All right, Wham Bam Powers, we're back with the classic segment, news, reviews, and things you can use. It's mostly going to be news on this one. Mm. The first thing I want to talk about is the Point Break reboot,
yes.
remake, remake, right?
I mean, now it feels like reboot is just a fancy word for
now
remake.
It's, not even,
it's the same. It's that movie, except they are doing it again.
Yeah, they just did
so
it again, which it's a remake. So
yeah.
Reboot, we are now going to apply only to movies wherein the franchise has been dead for some time and they're just going to start it again. It has to be a franchise to be rebooted. Is that what we're going to do?
I was under the impression when I talked to my that reboot was something like Terminator. Is that what you mean, where a franchise is dead?
That's what I mean.
Gotcha. And
it hasn't been, it's not necessarily dead, but we just haven't made it an installment in said franchise.
Gotcha. Yeah. Or kind of like clearing the history a little bit. Hey,
yes.
We're doing this with it now.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Kind of like Mad Max, like the James Bonds. Those are kind of like when they cast a new James Bond,
yeah.
It's a bit of a reboot.
Yeah, James Bond.
A rebond, if you will. Thank you!
Hey-o, Ricky wins the 100th episode with the rebond joke.
Man. And that was
ding,
for
ding,
that
ding,
100,
ding.
Yo. That was for that 100.
That's great.
I'm going to be doing a lot of that in this episode.
Just
I can tell
yell.
Already.
We're just going to yell the whole
already.
Time. But James Bond is like the original reboot, and it mm-hmm. makes sense in that. In that sort of world, but not so much in the Point Break world. I finally watched the trailer today because I've been like, I don't really care. And then I remembered, oh, I'm on a podcast where I need to care. And then I watched it today and I was like, this is absolutely ridiculously stupid. Number one, the guy playing Bodhi does not look like he'd be named Bodhi.
Sure.
And like the whole point, no pun intended.
Wait a second.
Of Point Break is that it's like these two hot dudes. I mean, that's like a big point of the movie.
Yeah.
You know? It's like two dudes that straight women would go to the movie and mm-hmm. watch these guys like talk at each other and yell and run around in masks. Basically, I watched it and was like, this doesn't have to be Point Break. It could just be another movie.
Yeah.
Or something else. Like, it doesn't... It's so... Ugh. This one actually makes me mad, and I don't even care that much about Point Break. I love it a lot because it's made by a woman.
Yeah.
And you can see those differences. Like, she made a movie that is, like, not a subtle movie, but
right.
the, like, male friendship and male romance, friend romance in that movie is subtle. Maybe not the gun in the sky scene, but,
mm-hmm.
you know, like, it had something to it. And then they're just taking, like, oh, these dudes are, like, wild, bro. Let's make that movie again. Like, it just doesn't... Who cares?
Really?
Pointless Break is what I'm calling it.
In this movie's defense, which I can't believe
I'm
saying
Ricky,
this.
Going on?
Well, it's Point Break. I mean, the original Point Break, wasn't he like an NFL... He was going to be like a quarterback or some shit, and he like decided to become like an FBI agent. Like, I was like, all right, it's kind of...
Oh, I mean,
Point Break is ridiculous in and
totally
of itself.
It's totally ridiculous. Which is why it doesn't need to be remade.
Yeah, I mean, I watched the trailer and I was like, oh, there's Edgar Ramirez. He's cool. He's dope. I like him.
I mean,
yeah,
it's written by Kurt Wimmer.
What else did he do?
Total Recall remake.
Oh, yeah.
Equilibrium.
Equilibrium was in.
We liked it because it was so insane.
Yeah.
You know, we don't like it because, like, ooh, this is a great film. It's, like, fun. And he wrote Law Abiding Citizen. Did you ever see that movie?
No.
Holy crap. That movie is crazy.
Is that right?
Yes. It's very crazy.
Is that a Jamie Foxx joint?
Yes. It's a Jamie Foxx.
I remember this.
Gerard Butler.
Ooh, that's right.
Which I've noticed the second time I watched Mad Max Fury Road, I feel like he must be so pissed that, Tom Hardy exists now. Because, like, all the roles that he used to get, he just looks exactly like him. When he's on the front of that freaking car with the cage on his face, they look exactly the same.
I didn't realize that. Yeah, he's getting those roles. Those guys are...
If Tom Hardy says no,
Gerard Butler hopefully is going to get that call.
Yeah,
did he say no? Because I'll do it.
And then nobody's going to make the movie. He also wrote Salt, which I enjoyed, but not because it was a great movie. Again,
I didn't see it.
Ultraviolet, The Recruit... Yeah, just some... The Thomas Crown Affair.
Violet.
There you go. We found one. Anyway.
I like Thomas Crown Affair.
Yeah. So,
it was fun.
I don't know. It just looks to me like they could have... I would go see that movie if it wasn't called Point Break.
I mean, it's...
Because it looks interesting from the standpoint of like, oh, we're liberating money because of the economy and stuff like that. Like, interesting take on that.
Yeah.
And then showing a bunch of like GoPro dudes doing crazy stunts to do it. On board with that. Making it something I've already seen and liked with the sways in it? No. Nope, I'm done. It's sacrilege. You cannot mess with the sways.
Yeah.
That's why nobody has even touched Dirty Dancing, because it's not going to happen. I mean, they're remaking Roadhouse, and that's going to be some BS, too. It's the sways curse.
How do you feel about a remake of Next of Kin?
Oh, my God. Please, no. Don't touch Next of Kin. It's my favorite sways joint.
That's sways joint.
No. Donnie Darko is my favorite sways joint.
That's a solid sways joint.
It's a solid sways joint.
That's a solid sways
joint. No, I mean, it's definitely got to be Dirty Dancing, Ghost, Roadhouse.
Those are the three you going?
Those are the three sways.
All right. I love Ghost. I just threw love out there and I'm not sure about that. Can I get that back?
You got so scared.
I did.
But I saw little Ricky in his bed just hugging that white VHS of Ghost that you got as a promo for McDonald's along with the Addams Family.
Oh, I remember it being very emotional when I watched
it. It's a great movie.
So, it is a really good movie.
It's a good movie.
Damn good movie.
Yeah. Okay, so moving on. The other big news, we've got Tilda Swinton probably cast in Marvel's Doctor Strange as the 500-year-old Tibetan sorcerer, the Ancient One. And she would be alongside Benedict Cumberbatch. And it's kind of shaking things up in terms of the Marvel the Marvel
and the Marvels. And the Marvels.
All the shooters are real upset about it, because they never cast against gender lines or color lines, they haven't except for Idris Elba and one other person, and Daredevil I think was supposed to be white and it's a black actor, so there's like two instances in the 130 Marvel movies we have now.
400 Marvel movies out right now.
So I guess it's a step in the right direction. And I mean, Tilda Swinton is always a great choice.
Yeah.
But something I was reminding myself, and we can go into this a little more in depth when we get to our Avengers review, is that these are movies for children.
Yes.
And I don't know why I care so much. Maybe because they make so much money, you know, and they are influencing that many eyeballs that it's like, well, I wish they would make better choices, because like a lot of human beings on this planet are watching these movies.
Yeah. I realized after watching Avengers, and I'm glad you said. Hopefully, we'll talk about that more. One of the notes I gave myself is, I hope I'm not hating on comic book movies because I'm forgetting the comic book movies.
I know,
like hating them for the reasons that, well, these are the things they're supposed to do in those movies. Ricky, you're a grown ass man.
Like, right, like no wonder their lines are saying the character type that they are.
Because like that's what they do in comic books.
You have
that
to do
make
that.
For,
it's,
exactly,
it's for children, so they understand that. So
also,
I mean. No, go ahead.
No, I was going to go back to the Tilda Swinton
casting. Go back to Tilda. That's what I wanted to do.
Why did they not cast Tilda Swinton as Doctor Strange? As soon as he said that, I was like, whoa.
They're terrified to put a woman in the driver's seat.
She'd be a great Doctor Strange.
She'd be a great anything.
She would also be a great anything.
As Wolverine. I would watch her. Let's see. Who else?
Wolverine.
I think she would make
Thor. Storm. Daredevil.
Just imagine a Tilda Swinton Thor.
That would
though,
be
take a second. Everyone that's listening, and just imagine Tilda Swinton Thor.
Mm-hmm.
Tilda Swinthor.
Tilda Swinthor. Thank you. Yes.
It's beautiful, isn't it?
Thor Swinton.
Yeah. Thorda Swinton.
Thorda Swinton.
Thorda. It's beautiful. So
it rolls
I don't know.
Off the tongue.
I'm hopeful. I hope like they keep doing that. And then some Netflix news. This is like not necessarily about specific movies, but this popped out. I was reading slashfilm.com, one of our favorite websites to check out. And one of their bits on there was that Netflix is testing ads on their service. That's right. Netflix is testing ads. Our worst nightmares.
So it's going to be like commercials on there?
Yes, but so far...
It's going to be a channel at some point then.
I know. Well, they have to. Here's the thing. They've been testing it in only certain markets. It's before and after, not within, you know, so you're not, it's not interrupting your viewing. And it's basically what like HBO does right now. It's, and they're testing it with advertising their original programming. So they're not advertising for, like, Skippy peanut butter.
Oh, okay.
They're advertising, if you're watching House of Cards, they're advertising for Orange is the New Black. Or if you're watching some old-ass movie.
Furniture's flying up in here.
Hit a television. Yes, we are in a recording booth, but I hit a television. Anyway, That's the kind of advertising. And they do test things like that that they don't end up rolling out. Mm. So, but we'll see. It is crazy to me that they are able to make so much money off of $8.99 a month.
Yeah.
But that's how many people they've got. That's a lot of money.
Yeah. I'm okay with them. I'm okay with getting a trailer for a show.
Yeah.
Or like one of their original things. I'm okay with that.
Like a 30-second, like how, sure, Game of Thrones pops up in front of Silicon Valley.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, shout out.
Yeah.
I don't watch Game of Thrones, but I do watch Silicon Valley.
Oh, Game of Thrones was good last night.
I heard, but I'm done. Did I say this the last time I was here?
We have not talked about it. We said we were I think we were going to try and talk about that
tonight. Oh, we can talk about it when we get into Fury Road, perhaps.
Okay, perfect. Yeah, like yesterday when I was watching Game of Thrones, I think they did show like a commercial for something beforehand. Yeah. I was like, oh yeah, I want to see that too. Cool.
Yeah. Thanks. I usually...
But I don't want like, hey, and don't forget you can buy Downy
at
Target.
Yeah.
I do not want that.
At all. I use Hulu. I don't subscribe to any cable services. And I use Hulu a lot to just watch like Shark Tank specifically.
Everybody loves Shark Tank.
I love me some Shark Tank and American Ninja Warrior. I got real deep into it.
I was big on American Ninja Warrior for a while.
And I should bring that up. So many things to bring up later.
So
I love
many
that
things.
Show because, I mean, it's so ridiculous, those announcers.
Mm-hmm.
But I love how fair they are in the announcing of this athletic competition. It's so ridiculous. But those people are really serious about it. And it may not be the NBA or MLB or whatever, but when women are on that show, they typically don't do well because they're not tall enough to do it.
Okay.
Some of them do well, like the one woman, a couple women. They give them equal time, camera time. You know, when there's a woman that's like a certain level, they're like, all right, she gets footage. I just love that about the show, that they're not like, eh, she doesn't do well, so we're going to cut her from the show. It's like they just show her because like it's good to show a woman doing that thing.
I haven't watched the show in years, but you know what I would watch the shit out of is Puppy Ninja Warrior. Let's make that happen.
Oh,
I'm just envisioning it in my brain. Little puppies, like, clawing the way.
Oh, yeah.
I'm subscribing to the cable now.
On the ring toss. Oh. Little puppies on the ring toss. Oh, little puppies on the inverted wall.
Right.
Yeah, that would be great. They never get up that wall.
Send me all the
money.
They
wouldn't even start. They just look at it, but that would be the best part.
How cute
can they be when they look at the...
Thank you. Thank you. There's no losers on this show.
No losers on this show. So speaking of no losers, last little news bite is I saw this as I was leaving the house to come to the show. So this is all the information that I know about it. That The Rock will be in the remake of Big Trouble, Little China.
You're going to hit me with that at the end. You're going to hit me with that at the end.
I'm sorry, Ricky.
We're going to start off with the point.
Are you really upset about that?
I'm not crazy. I mean, here is where my line for The Rock has been drawn.
Whoa, really?
Oh, yeah.
That's where you're done?
I'm not done.
Oh.
I believe.
You're just like, I can't go. I cannot go with you on this one, Dwayne. You're going to have to go by yourself.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. Like, bro, come on, man. And apparently it's his favorite movie, which I think is beautiful and wondrous and great.
Yeah.
But do we need another Big Trouble in Little China with anybody in it?
I feel like no. But
I mean, we don't need another Point Break. We don't need me to keep having episodes where I keep saying we don't need these things.
I know.
But they are happening.
We should just call this show We Don't Need This.
I like that very much.
I do.
Us yelling.
I do love The Rock, though. I mean, I need to go back and watch the Fast and Furiouses that he's in, and I will go see San Andreas, even though it terrifies the shit out of me.
Oh, for sure, absolutely.
Because I actively live here. Mm-hmm. Like, this is where I live.
It's much different now when you're here.
Yes.
Before, I'd be like, ha-ha, yeah. My PlayStation's in there.
That could happen.
Absolutely.
In the trailer for San Andreas, which I saw, again, for Mad Max, and it was huge. On a huge screen this time, and it says, the place you live is like a card with L.A. And I was like, yeah, I know.
Yeah. Like, it shows like Capitol Records falling.
I know.
And if I did or did not live by Capitol Records, and I see that, I'm like,
it's terrifying.
That's too close, literally, to where I live.
A little too close to home.
A little too close to home.
Because it's my home. I will say that trailer, really, there's some... I'm going to sound like such a snob right now.
Say it, girl.
But the sound
Say it. It's
editing.
The 100th episode.
I'm wearing a Back to the Future t-shirt
Thank
right
you.
Now.
Boom.
I didn't even plan it for the 100th episode. It just happened. Anyway, the sound editing in the theatrical trailer that I saw for San Andreas was beautiful.
Oh, okay.
Because it was like showing, you know, gave you the, this is where you live. What if this happened? Blah, blah, blah. And then he's having the conversation with his wife. It cuts out. Everything starts happening. And then it's just his breathing, which it's like the perfect visual and aural depiction
that.
Of like focus, you know, like that, the moment, like in sports or when you're, you know, just all that stuff, when everything goes away and you're just like, it's great.
Yeah.
I love it.
A la Gravity.
Yeah, like Gravity. It also reminded me of Flight, because Flight did some of those things in its trailer.
Doesn't it?
Great stuff. But that doesn't add very much to our conversation about The Rock in Big Trouble in Little China.
Well, you
however.
Hear my breathing when I heard those.
Yeah.
Exactly. It wasn't breathing. It was,
Exactly. Well, we've got our thoughts on that movie. and after hang on. I'm just going to do that again. I just didn't even... It just fell
great.
Out of my mouth. It was like my dentures fell out of my mouth and were just chomping. I don't even have dentures. You can just leave this in. People can see how the sausage is made.
100th episode.
We'll be back right after this with a review of The Avengers Age of Ultron.
Hey, Wham Bam Powers. If you enjoyed this show and are looking to get into audio production, you should apply for Max Fund's first ever production fellowship. It's a year-long contract position where we'll offer training and you'll work hands-on for Max Fund shows. Our application deadline is June 15th, so apply now. Details are at MaximumFund.org/fellowship.
All right, we're back, and now we're going to give you guys a review, a brief review of a dick flick, our dick flick this week, our first dick flick, I should say, is
one of two.
Correction, Avengers, not The Avengers, my apologies to everyone, Avengers Age of Ultron, which is still in theaters right now. And like I said up top at the beginning of the show, we are going to just openly talk about the plot of the film.
Mm-hmm.
So if you haven't seen it yet, just pause and then go see it and come back to us or listen to us, because we're very funny. And it is a kids movie after all, so it doesn't matter.
If for the 100th episode, all the theaters know you can play our podcast during the movie that you go see. Whatever theater you're at, just start playing the podcast right during the movie.
Yeah, they're cool with it. Yeah. On the speakers. Don't use your headphones.
Yeah,
play it loud. Everybody wants to hear it. I asked everyone. They said yes.
Excuse me, everyone?
Everyone?
Is it okay?
You know, I'm going to tweet this, but I'm going to run it on the show first.
Would you please?
I was just thinking, like, live stand-up comedy shows are the only time that we ever get to find out how everybody's doing.
How's everybody doing tonight?
There you go.
There you go.
The only time that you can be in a room with a bunch of other people and be like, oh, everybody's all right. Great. And you know it.
Yeah.
It's the truth.
Mm-hmm.
Only time. Anyway, so Avengers, Age of Ultron, directed by Joss Whedon. I think he wrote it too.
I think so. I think he shot it.
Yeah. And it stars, you know, the Avengers. Do I really need to tell you who's in it? Hemsworth.
It might take us
Robert
45
Downey
minutes
Jr.
to get through the cast.
Chris Hardwick.
Chris Rock.
The Rock. James Spader.
Mm-hmm.
Scarlett Johansson. Anyway, so yeah, it's all those people. It's all the people that you know. Avengers are working together still.
They're avenging.
Their quabbles. They've got all this stuff. Robert Downey Jr., Iron Man, Tony Stark makes a big mistake that turns into Ultron, who then becomes the big, big bad guy for this movie. There you go. There's the synopsis.
Boom. That was it.
He's basically an AI that takes robot form and enlists Quicksilver and the other gal's name. I don't even remember what she was called. But
the Scarlet Witch.
Thank you.
Scarlet Witch.
Which is funny because it's Elizabeth Olsen and Kick-Ass,
yes.
who were their twins in this movie.
Mm-hmm.
And they were married to each other in Godzilla. So that was kind of fun.
Yeah.
I also really enjoyed her Russian accent that just came in and out.
Oh.
There was one scene when she was like, hey, you guys, what are you going?
Both of their accents were like, woo.
It was pretty great. So I don't know. Is there anything up top you want to mention before we get into our bests and worsts?
I don't know. I'll just say this. This is one of those movies where it was like, okay, I did like enjoy this movie. I had like fun watching it, but I kept thinking about all the things that I didn't like about the movie.
Yeah, you know?
I don't think it's a bad movie. I was just like, all right, that was fun. Cool.
Yeah. It's a movie.
Yeah.
I mean,
it's such a weird knock to have against it, because if this was the first Avengers movie, I'd be losing my mind probably. I'd be
sure.
Like, holy shit, how did they do all that? They got all those people in there, and all that action sequence was dope, and this moment was cool. No, I wasn't expecting this from that character, but it was just kind of things where like, yeah, I saw that in the Avengers, so like the excitement of it is kind of gone.
Yeah.
You know?
It feels like a really long trailer. You know, it's just set piece to set piece to set piece to set piece without there being sort of action necessarily. You know, it doesn't link together as well as the original Avengers did, or the other Marvel movies for that matter. For me, when I was watching it, I was just like, ugh, okay, all right. You know, just like stuff's happening. There's a lot of people, and I was just pretty bored for a lot of it.
I've heard that a lot of it is set up for the next Avengers movie, which, I mean, I'm cool with. All right. Since I don't know that this is going to tie into the next movie, I was just kind of like, what's happening with that thing they brought up?
Yeah.
You know?
It's funny because we used to make movies to tie into the toys.
Mm-hmm.
And definitely this movie is just a long, this is what Cameron said. When she was watching it for a minute, she was like, oh, right, this is just a commercial for toys. And I was like, yeah, you're right. But it also, it's like now everything is just a commercial for another movie that's coming out in 3 years or something. Yeah. And at first that was fun, the after credits sequence when that was all new and was interesting. But now it's just like, all right, great. Now I've got another commitment in this many years or something. So, well, go ahead, Reed.
No, that's one of those issues where I was saying earlier, like, I don't want to hate a comic book movie for doing what a comic book does. I mean, comic books, they're serials. So it's always like, yeah, this story's over, but you can't believe what's going to happen in the next one. And that's what kind of these are now. Like, all right, yeah, in this next one, here's what's going to happen. You know, it's just setting these things up. Where it's like, oh, yeah. I guess, I mean, I'm kind of like is exasperated the right word? Damn, Ricky, for the 100th episode, I dropped exasperated on you.
I just hope that the third Avengers is called Avengers, The Search for Hulk. Just feels like that now. I don't know why I would buy it so much. I used to enjoy the cliffhanger nature or linked nature of the Star Trek movies versus these, but something about it is bothering me. Perhaps it's their lack of diversity and gender economy in the movies, but I don't know. For some reason, it just feels like a swindle, less than an experience, if that makes sense. Especially after seeing Mad Max. It's really hard. It's going to be really hard this summer, after seeing that movie, watch any action movies. Like, I don't care about sorry, Paul Rudd, I really like you, but I don't care about Ant-Man at all.
Yeah. Well, I mean, are you still talking in relation to, like, the gender?
No, I'm talking in relation to...
You just mean, like badass action sequences?
You could include the gender thing.
Okay.
You could also take it completely out and just look at it as, like, this action movie versus this action movie.
Mm-hmm.
And not have any of the, like, substance of the plot, and just simply the experience of watching the movie, so much better.
Oh, for sure.
The whole time I was watching Mad Max, both times I was like, what the hell is going on? Not in a good way. Not like I'm confused. Like, I know exactly what's going on.
Yeah.
This whole time, you haven't had to explain, you haven't had to hold my hand and tell me all this stuff. Like, I haven't seen all the Mad Max movies, sorry, but it didn't matter. You know, like, I had an idea of the feeling, and I could get into it right away. So that's what's hard for me about Avengers. It feels very clunky. But again, I had to keep reminding myself, this movie is for kids.
Yeah.
This is not made for me.
Yeah.
It's for kids, which is why I think gender and ethnicity diversity is so important, because right. kids should be able to see themselves on screen.
For sure. For sure.
Not just green kids. So, Ricky, what are your worst parts of this movie? Or what is your worst part of this movie?
Worst part of this movie? There's a couple parts that I didn't like, along with what I said earlier. I don't like how Tony Stark just is like, we're going to do it this way, my way. And Bruce Banner was like, all right, I don't think that's a good idea. Yeah. And then it just like happens. Like, it just, the way Tony Stark, I mean, I know he's, things are going to go bad. I know that. That's, I don't know how familiar you are with this storyline that things are going to get bad for him. And it just kind of feels, I don't know, it just felt like out of place of how it happened in this movie. It doesn't feel like what happened to him in Iron Man 3 is carrying over
sure.
into this movie.
It's almost
movie.
Like we have Iron Man 2 Tony Stark still?
Yeah, like I like that post-traumatic like stress thing right. that kept like bothering him. I just don't remember it too much. I didn't feel like it was popping up in this movie. It was like affecting like his decisions as much as like, no, I'm right. Yeah. I'm smart. I made all these machines. I'm going to make an even smarter one. Why are you all like why are you not trusting me?
Yeah.
You know? Wasn't crazy about that. Yeah, that I wasn't crazy about Scarlet Witch and Quicksilver. I didn't like how they were kind of portrayed. I didn't like I just didn't think they were very good. I yeah. didn't like their accents.
Yeah.
Yeah, I just wasn't crazy about that. I don't know what Ultron's plan was. Ultron is like, he can get into any computer, right? Like, that's
sure.
his, he can do that. How come he didn't get into all the computers?
Yeah, like, why didn't he just I don't know.
Do that?
Because
I kept like being like, hey, dude, you're like in The Incredibles. You are monologuing
yeah, I mean,
right now, bro. And you are not like just doing it.
Yeah.
Do it.
Yeah,
you can control that phone. Make it happen.
Jim Carrey's The Riddler in Batman Forever, like, got into more places than Ultron did. With his, like, whatever his
That's right. Absolutely.
Thing was,
I forgot
he,
about
like,
that.
Filled his brain
oh,
with everybody's
man,
brain.
I forgot about that machine.
Yeah, dude. It's so weird then when his head swirls, like he's using photo booth. Anyway.
I did listen to U2's Hold Me, Thrill Me, Kiss Me, Kill Me today.
Oh, you did?
Still holds up
that
song.
I'm sure it does. Man, they played the shit out of that song
yeah,
that summer.
Did. Yeah, they did.
Oh, my God.
That's a good
I heard
song.
That song like every day of my life that summer.
The violins came out at the end. I was like, yeah. Oh, yeah.
The video's great.
Great video. Yep.
Anyway, so my worsts.
What is your worst part of this movie?
I mean, ultimately, my absolute worst part is the use of women in this movie because... It like, Black Widow does get to have that awesome ride out of the, whatever that thing is, you
mm-hmm.
know, that ship thing. That's badass.
Yeah.
But I am, like, pretty irritated that, you know, she's reduced to, like, wishing she could be a mom. And the thing is, like, if you had more women in your stories, I mean, you could get mad at me for wanting more women in a movie because, like, wah, or whatever. But also, like, this is a movie about so many superheroes. It's got a ton of people in it. You can make more than one of them a woman.
Mm-hmm.
I know at the end, Scarlet Witch, or whatever her name is, becomes one of them. At the end.
Yeah.
It's the end.
Yeah, like, what is it again?
It's the end. It's the end. She also is described as weird. You know, like, I really hated that at the beginning when they
really?
Were like... I just was irritated with it because it's just like an overall tone throughout this whole movie. And I wonder, I just am curious about it because they're describing Quicksilver and Scarlet Witch to, I think, to Captain America. And somebody's like, you know, his metabolism is this high and she's able to blah, 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 sciencey words. And he just looks at him and he's like, well, he's fast and she's weird. And I just don't like that. Like, describing a woman as weird because she can, because women are always stuck with that, with sort of like, God, my words are not coming to me because my head is so stuffed up.
That's
but
right.
It's like always intuition-based powers, you know, like they can read minds and they can manipulate people into doing things. And like, it's just a typically feminine power to give to a woman.
Okay.
And then to describe her as weird It's just like the tiniest little ding, like a kick to the shins of like, well, we don't respect you, you know? Huh. So that's just how I feel about it. And
no,
I know
gotcha.
I'm going in there with a battle plan already. But it's...
There's going to be a lot of... I feel there's going to be a lot of this parts of this where I am going to have the male
sure.
response. And I don't mean that in a like, hey,
no,
get your shit
and that's
together.
Why this
I
show
is I just mean that in
great.
A like, I have no idea what you're talking about.
Right.
Because when she said she's weird, I was just like, yeah, her powers are like, she can... Like, do, like, ballet dancing and, like,
right.
shoot flames sometimes. But sometimes
yeah.
she can make people, like, dream weird.
Yeah.
But
that's what I mean. Like, when you zoom out, like, two more steps, you're like, oh, that is strange that she doesn't get to be powerful physically in any way. And the
but
power that she does have is described as weird. That's
yeah,
what I'm saying.
But Black Widow is powerful, like, physically.
Now. She also gets taken out of the movie. Like, Hawkeye literally tells her, like, you've done enough. Stop. And then she's, like, negated and moved out of the movie.
I think...
And at the beginning, when yeah. they're at that, like, party or whatever, when they're, like, hanging out after they did a good job,
mm-hmm.
and then they're talking about Penny and Jane, they're not even in the freaking movie.
I was, yeah.
Like,
I,
what?
We
what?
Just...
what? Like,
did
I
you
want to
see them in the... I mean, for outside of them being women... And you would see women in the movie. Did you want to see them in the movie? I don't think.
Yeah.
There's so many characters in the movie.
There are.
Not seeing them. I was like.
You're telling me
that
Natalie Portman and Gwyneth Paltrow are so busy they couldn't shoot one scene where they're just standing there joking around to each other?
No. I mean, it's a 2 hour
they spent
something
enough
plus movie.
Time talking about them not being there that they could have just been there. That it wouldn't have been any more distracting than the fact that they weren't there.
Yeah, but do you want.
Yes. Unequivocally, yes, Ricky. I want more women's faces in those stupid movies.
Yeah, I totally get that, 100%.
Because we
never... Like, but there's, like, wanting them for being there for a very for a reason, and then wanting them... That does nothing to... I don't... For me, and this might be where I'm
sure.
sounding like a fucking dude, that just doesn't... To me, that doesn't sound like that's one that's solid for the cause. That's just like, oh yeah, there they are in that movie that I'm not enjoying.
Sure,
there they are.
But the thing to me is to say like, well, it doesn't matter here. Is the way that it just keeps staying the way that it does.
No,
you know what I mean. Like,
yes.
like to say like on American Ninja Warrior, like that's why I say things like that. Like, oh, it's great that they're giving women an equal and as equal opportunity as they possibly can, given that there's only you know, let's say 10 out of 100. Contestants on that show are women,
mm-hmm.
and let's maybe 3 of those women are good at it.
Yeah,
just like the same amount of men are. It's just more men because more men can do this or want to do this or whatever, and because more men are shown doing it, less women do it.
Yeah,
you know all those reasons. They don't have to show that many women, but they choose to because it means something.
Yeah, I understand,
and I just think it means something.
I didn't feel like it was a slight. To them that they weren't in the movie. Like, I just didn't, it,
sure.
just, it just felt like...
I don't think it's a slight to them either.
Yeah.
I don't think it's a slight. I don't think it's like, oh, this movie has an agenda.
Yeah.
I just think, like, these are opportunities that they could take to say, like, hey, we think these characters are also important, even though they're women. That's all.
Because I
feel like these movies don't give a shit. And they don't... Because... It's an example.
I agree with what you're saying.
Sure.
But it's, I mean, I just don't think Joss Whedon has a history of like being like, man, I don't give a shit about what girls
no,
think,
I mean,
you know? Like,
I know. He also used the phrase militant feminist, so I don't know how much he cares about women
well,
these days.
The more I hear people talk about feminism, the more I'm like, man, I don't know shit about feminism, so I'm not even going to fucking dip my toe in
There's a
that.
Lot to it. But
I would rather say I don't know shit about that than like,
be like, that's wrong.
Well, then say, like, militant feminism and then be like, did you hear this dumbass? Just drop
yeah.
that shit. He don't know what the hell he's talking about.
Exactly.
Yes, I don't know what the hell I'm talking about.
Exactly.
So let's have that conversation.
I could actually illustrate my point better when we get to the Leave You With because I watched the
okay.
documentary Anita about Anita Hill recently, which is on Netflix, and I can go back to that when we get to that, guys, because I'm sure you want to hear me scream about... gender equality more. No, that's why you guys are here. So that's why I'm going to talk about it.
I mean, I would rather talk about it than I just
yeah,
go.
Yeah, that's
I
the
go,
whole point of
I
the
not,
show.
I'm not over here. I go, all right, I have no idea what she's talking about.
I'm just arguing my point. I don't think you're wrong or anything, and
I'm
I appreciate talking to you, Ricky.
No, yeah, I'm not saying it to say that you're wrong. I would just rather, sometimes I feel like there's times where I sit here and I go, I
don't know what you mean.
Yeah. Yep. That's the beginning of a 10-minute conversation. Sure. I wish we could have.
Absolutely.
You know?
Yeah.
So that's all that is.
Well, anyway, those are my worst parts. I think I covered two. Okay. Mm-hmm. And then, all right. So, Ricky, what's your best part?
That opening fight sequence is pretty, I was like,
yeah,
all
you get dropped
jazzed
right in.
Yeah, I was like, oh man, here we go. And in that sense, it's cool to see, like, oh yeah, did you like when the Avengers got together finally at the end of the first movie? Well, they're doing it right at the top of this one. And he does that, he's got like two cool shots that, that he uses. He uses like that cool long tracking shot where you get to see them all each doing their thing. Let's just stick to that one in particular. Like, it's just such like a, if you want to see the Avengers and you want to see them do all the dope things they do, man, I don't think there's a better visual representation than how Joss Whedon does it in his movies.
The Whedon tracking shot?
Oh, it's great. I mean, it's really like that a lot. I like how people react to the Avengers too. They're like sure. All the villains. They're like, yeah, we don't know, man. Those are the Avengers. We're not going to make it.
Yeah.
Like, the movie is just kind of like self-aware like that. That's a lot of fun. Yeah, I would say those things.
That opening?
That opening sequence.
I think that...
What was your best part of the movie?
Oh, thank you. I have a few, actually. I enjoyed that Hawkeye had an age-appropriate wife, partner.
Yes.
Linda Cardellini, shout out. So there's a woman right there.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It was not only a woman, but a woman whose name I was familiar with.
Mm.
A woman who's been in other things.
Yes.
And she's Jeremy Renner's age, which was pretty great to see because that doesn't happen super often. I loved seeing Black Widow riding on Hulk. That was very reminiscent of that, like, squirrel riding on the bird or whatever. And I think my favorite part was when Thor and Cap had, like, this battle sequence where Cap, like, throws his shield to Thor and then Thor hits it with the hammer like a baseball.
Yeah.
Oh, that just killed me right there. I mean, that was great. And then also the, like, when Vision and Thor are talking about the hammer and he's like, the balance on that is impeccable. And he's like, yeah, if you had it, that's great. Like, that little stuff, beautiful. I loved it. So those are my favorite parts. So, Ricky, on a scale of 1 to 5, I wish the Vision was called Jartron. How many I wish the Vision was called Jartrons do you give it?
I will give it 4.
Whoa,
I wish the Vision was called Jartrons. Yeah, I mean, it's a good movie. It's a really good movie. It's a really entertaining movie. It's fun. There's so much going on, and I was just kind of like, yeah, I've seen something like this before, you know,
which is
really cool. Yeah,
this.
Yeah, which is, it's weird. Even when I hear other people talk about it, I feel glad, like, okay, I'm not the only one having this experience, where we say we like it, and then we just kind of poo-poo it for the next
sure,
you know, 10 minutes.
I say I don't like it, and then I poo-poo it for the next, let's see, Ricky, do you want to give me a scale on which to rate this film?
Sure. On a scale of 1 to 5, hey, Tony Stark gets his shirts at Target too. How many 1 to 5 Tony Stark gets his shirts at Target too? Would you give Avengers Age of Ultron?
Okay. On a scale of 1 to 5, Tony Stark gets his shirts at Target too. And I'll add to that, he's still wearing those bootcut pants. I am going to give this movie 2.
Oh.
2.
Dos.
2. Tony Stark still gets his shirts at Target and is wearing those bootcut pants. I don't understand why he's wearing those flares. See, that's why Pepper should be in the movie, because he should not be wearing those goddamn pants. They're terrible.
Some of his outfit choices in this one.
He looks like he's just stayed in Vegas for his whole life.
yeah, exactly.
Like, what are you wearing, dude?
Yeah, that Bruce Lee shirt. I was like, come on, man.
Oof.
Come on, man.
The Bruce Lee DJ?
Yeah.
Bruce DJ or
Which
whatever?
I love that shirt, but it's like, it just didn't seem to fit.
It doesn't fit.
It didn't fit.
It didn't fit, and it didn't fit.
Mm-hmm.
So, we will be right back with another review. not only another review in the context of this show, but another review of the movie Mad Max Fury Road. Mad Max : Fury Road. Right after this.
Welcome to Oh No, Ross and Carrie.
Ross.
Hi, Carrie.
What do you think is creepier?
Okay.
You jump into a swimming pool. All of a sudden, the water goes away, and instead of water, there is the bones of your dead ancestors.
Ew.
Or our show.
That's pretty tough because we've visited a live exorcism.
We joined the Ordo Templi Orientis where we had to worship a naked lady.
Oh, and we joined that Tony Alamo cult. Oh. They were scary.
Super creepy. We joined the Aetheri Society.
We tried penis enlargement, or at least I did.
Oh boy, I tried breast enlargement. We have basically done every creepy, weird, fringe thing except for thousands more, which we will get to if you listen to our show.
I'd still say the swimming pool with my ancestors' bones.
Well, then I don't even know if people should listen.
I guess they shouldn't.
But if you want to, we're at Maximum Fun, and the show's called Ono, Ross, and Carrie.
All right, we're back, and we're going to do something unprecedented. We've never done this in the history of Wham Bam Pow, and what better time to do it than the 100th episode, which has also never happened before.
Mm.
This time, we're going to re-review a movie that we just reviewed. We're going to review Mad Max Fury Road.
It's almost like we're doing what they do in Mad Max, where we're going somewhere, and then you're like, you know what?
We're just going to go right back.
Let's double back.
Yes. Great point, Ricky.
That's right, girl.
Great point. Break, Ricky. So we've already, I mean, I feel like everybody that's listening at this point has probably listened to the episode where we reviewed it, so I don't think I need to give the info to the movie, but I will give the info to my own personal watching, because I went and saw it again. And I, if I have the time, I will go see it again.
Ooh.
That's how much I enjoyed this movie, and I'm going to go, because I was talking to comedian friend of the show, Rory Scovel, the other night.
Oh, yes.
And he asked me how many times I'd seen it, and I was like, just twice. And he was like, really? Seems like it would be more. And I was like, I know.
I like that you said just twice, as in there's more still
people,
on the horizon.
People have asked me, and I feel guilty that it's only been twice. but he was like, how did you see it? And I said, I didn't see it in 3D because George Miller said, don't see it in 3D. That's not how I wanted it to be. So don't see it that way. And he's like, really? That's funny that he would say that because I thought it felt like a good 3D movie. So I do, now that I've seen it twice in traditional 2D,
see,
the old analog
vinyl,
I can't even smell it. Now that I've seen it twice, one time not optimal viewing, second time optimal viewing. And I'll go back to that in a second. Now I'm ready to go see it in IMAX 3D, whatever.
Yeah.
The top of the line.
Yeah.
Top of the line model. I'm going to go in the middle of the day by myself.
There you go.
Get a great seat. Put on those disgusting glasses.
I will tell you what's, if depending on which theater you go to.
Sure.
If you go to theater, I will tell you what specific seat
Please tell me.
Because I'm not a fan of 3D. And I was like, this is, I will see it.
Did you see Mad Max in 3D?
Yes, I did.
Okay.
In IMAX.
Great.
And I saw Avengers in 3D. And as I did not enjoy the 3D in Avengers.
I
loved
see how that would
3D.
Be almost abusive, the 3D in the Avengers.
It also, it has to do with me wearing glasses.
Yes.
That had a lot to do with it. When I saw Fury Road, I mean, I didn't touch my face once to do any kind of adjusting.
I was just like, in.
Where for the Avengers, I kept making sure, like, is this, am I seeing this right?
I don't wear glasses, and I didn't touch my face the whole time I was watching Mad Max. I bite my nails like crazy, didn't bite them one time.
Yeah, one time.
Sorry. One time. So the first time I saw Mad Max, it was in Denver. I went to see it at one of their United Artists theaters. Are you familiar with these?
I'm familiar with the former film studio United
Artists. But it's like
Artists.
The same thing.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, they live on in movie theaters.
Really?
So they had it in like this weird outdoor mall in Denver. And we went there, and to me, it was a small theater. Maybe I'm used to L.A. single-screen theaters, but it felt small in my memory. Mm-hmm. And we were sitting to the side, and because it was very full, weirdly, in the middle of the day. And then it was the theater that had recliners.
Oh,
that
okay.
I reclined horizontally. Like, I was a horizontal human being in a movie theater, and I had a little table. Like, I was going to fill out, like, my SATs or something, which I didn't take. I took the ACTs, because that's easier.
Are you taking this while you're watching the movie?
Yeah, I took my ACTs while I was watching the movie.
Wow. Multitasking.
Like, yeah. And I did it in the dark. I didn't even care. So I watched it, that situation, and I feel like that's why, and I was also so tired when I came back to record the show that I was like, meh, yeah, it was great. Mm-hmm. And then I saw it the next time, and I went to the Vista, friend of the show.
I mean, bury me at the Vista,
yo. I like ran my little tuchus down there in the middle of the day. There was a line.
Tuchus!
1 o'clock on a Tuesday or Wednesday to see the movie.
Great.
And it had been out for weeks at that point. I was like eighth in line or something, and I got popcorn, I got something to drink, I even got chocolate. I don't even get chocolate. I bought it all at the theater. I didn't even sneak anything in. I was like, no, I owe them for the privilege to see this movie. And I got the best seat in the house. I think it was 10 rows back, dead center. The first row that there is a center seat.
Okay.
Because, you know, the ones in the front, there's actually no dead center seat. Mm-hmm. They're like, there's two center seats and you have to pick one. And I was right behind in the middle of those.
Yeah, you were.
And I was like, I'm in the perfect seat. And it was so, it was perfect. It was absolutely perfect. So, Ricky, what you were going to, you saw it in 3D.
I saw it in 3D.
How many times have you seen it?
I've only seen it the one time. Okay. I wish I had seen it again. But I had the same exact experience in attending the theater, minus it was not my favorite theater.
Sure.
But I was surprised, maybe that also had to do with it. I was surprised at how much I was loving it because I was like, this is not my favorite theater. I enjoy this theater, but since I have bad experiences with IMAX, or with 3D, I should say, why not? I reached for my 3D glasses as if they were there.
Top of the glasses. Top of the glasses to
Top
you.
Top of the glasses to you.
Are large, that you sort of get a ghost.
For
you
sure.
Know, like a ghost amputation sort of a feeling once you take those 3D glasses off.
Oh, yeah. And I actually wear my sunglasses over my regular glasses, so I'm used to that effect.
Right.
But in this one, like, I just never, when I watched The Avengers in 3D, I kept, like, moving my head up and down a little bit to make sure, like,
sure.
Am I getting all of the 3D I'm supposed to? But when I saw it at the Man's Chinese Theater in downtown Hollywood.
No, yeah. And, really easy to get to.
Oh, very excellent.
Super accessible.
If I do or do not live in Hollywood, it may or may not be in walking distance
sure.
from where I live.
Yeah.
So it is easily accessible for me. I'm spoiled. But yeah, I sat in the perfect seat. I did not have to move or adjust anything.
Yeah.
I was just like right in the middle. Have you seen a movie in 3D there?
I saw Jupiter Ascending there.
You know how like that countdown happened?
And, oh,
like,
yeah.
I mean, like, they were like, literally like, I was like, oh, this is great.
Yeah.
Just all in. And then, just that God. I mean, next time I go there, I will push children out of the way to get to that damn movie again.
You don't deserve it.
You don't.
I've been
haven't
on this
lived.
Planet longer.
Exactly.
That reminds me of
how many bad movies I've sat through.
Yeah, I saw Jupiter Ascending.
I sat through Vampire in Brooklyn.
That reminds me when you were talking. Just we will get to the movie at one point, but we're having a great time just talking about theaters.
Yeah.
That reminds me of we had a lot of Regal cinemas where I grew up. And they still play the same, like, theater, you know, the little trailer that's like, here's what's happening, to play, throw trash away or whatever.
Yeah.
Like, if it's your first time, here you go. And that one was like this, I can hear it right now, but I can't mimic it because I'm sick. But where you're, like, strapping into, like, a roller coaster, and it plays a song that's like,
and like, oh, everything, I do remember that one. Oh,
it's like, let's get ready to go. It's very creepy. But there's a part where you're like, there's like popcorn popping, and it goes pop, pop. And then you turn to go down the hill, and then it goes pop right over the thing. And I remember every time there would always be somebody in the audience that would be like, huh, every time. And it's not 3D at all. It's totally 2D and was made in like 1992, and people will still be like, bah! Still shocked by that last pop.
The magic of cinema.
Right?
Right?
All
right.
So now we're going to get into the real magic of cinema. Mm. And I don't want to rate this because I'm just going to give it a 5 this time.
Sure, we love this.
Because I should not have not given it a 5 before. I don't know what was wrong with
me.
Did
I give it a 5 last time?
You didn't. You didn't. I didn't. Really? Cameron didn't. I don't know why. I don't know what was up our butts. Well, I don't know.
Then I will stick to that whatever ranking I give it until I see it
again. 4.25 or something. Right. Something weird like that. But I'm giving it a 5. Right. So I just want to actually loosely talk about the movie. Mm-hmm. And then we'll wrap it up. And then we'll leave you guys with some stuff. So something that I noticed right up top when the movie starts, you never, in at least the first and most of the second act of the movie, you never, there is not a shot of Furiosa where we are above her. We're always below or at her eye level.
Hero shots.
Yes.
I like that.
And the very first time you see her eyes, she's looking at us. Hmm. Like, she's already looking at us, and we are looking at her. Mm-hmm. It's not, she, because typically when you're introduced to a woman, she, like, looks over her shoulder, or she looks up from something, or she looks at you, you know, as the viewer. Mm-hmm. And I saw that, and I was like, holy shit, this is a big deal.
Yeah.
This is a big deal to, like, have a woman in a movie and not, and have her at the same level of Mad Max. Because Mad Max, you see him from behind, he's standing there, he eats that disgusting two-headed thing, and it still grosses me out. And you see him over his shoulder, she walks out, you see her from behind, and then she's looking at you. So that's something that I noticed. What's anything new that you wanted to talk about the movie? Or what do you think about that?
I think that's great. I've always loved the idea of the hero shot. I never paid attention to it until I heard Robert Rodriguez talk about it in Sin City when he shoots the second sequence with Clive Owen. He says, I just wanted to use Clive Owen with all hero shots. So I always wanted the camera to be like here and here. And I was like, oh, shit, that's a hero shot.
Yeah.
And that was a movie where I was like, I don't know who Clive Owen is. But at the end of it, sure. I was like, I want to know more about this dude, this Clive Owen guy. So that's very interesting that he does that. Can we jump ahead? Because there is a very specific Charlize
ahead.
Theron.
Let's jump
point
ahead
in
since
the movie.
We're talking about Furiosa in
yes,
general.
Furious. I really feel that this, for me, the movie would have, maybe this is why I didn't give it a 5. I really wanted her to die at the end.
Right.
I felt like it should have been, I don't know, it just, the group of women that she is trying to break out of there, the pregnant woman dies. And I was like, God damn, that's huge. I was not expecting that at
sure.
all. That's huge. And then,
and can I say something about that specifically?
Yes.
I think it's very interesting. I feel like everything in this movie is on purpose. So I don't think I'm like adding anything to what he's doing because obviously he's a very smart filmmaker. I love that the pregnant one died because she died and immediately she didn't matter to that Immortan Joe. Immediately she didn't matter. It was the baby inside of her. And isn't that like a conversation we're always talking about? Like, she is now trash. She doesn't matter, essentially.
Mm-hmm.
It's just the baby that we lost. And, oh, my God, we lost a baby. And I think that is a really interesting and powerful thing to put into a movie because...
Oh, for sure.
Also, the baby is a boy, and they're like, we had a boy. You know, like, they don't say anything like, our mother. You know, none of that.
Yeah.
Like, she is not honored in any way.
Yeah.
And also, to speak to your Furiosa dying at the end, something else I noticed is that there's equal numbers. If you don't count, like, the war boys... in general, because it's just like a slaughter fest, and I don't count that. But speaking characters that you know their names and they're part of the story, like an equal number of men and women die. You know, it's like tit for tat, which is why I liked that Furiosa didn't die. I also like that she didn't die because women typically die in movies.
Yeah,
and I like that she got to win. I like that she got to because like to me, she's gonna be. The spinoff that will be for her, it will either be about her reign or how she gets to that point, you know? And either of those would be very interesting to me.
Those, I mean, that sounds amazing. I mean, when I say I wanted her to die, it's because I feel like it would give her kind of this martyrdom status where it's just like, now she's greater than everybody.
Right.
You know, because, she went on this mission. I mean, she accomplished the mission, but, you know, by dying. I mean, that's just like the ultimate. To me, that's the ultimate. The stakes have been raised. Same thing as I've seen women die in a movie before.
Yeah.
But it's seen a pregnant woman get run over by a car. Okay.
Yeah.
This shit is real.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, that's... And especially like that moment before where she's like holding it out kind of like as the shield is you're not doing nothing to us. Ugh.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, that
yeah,
just...
Yeah, he won't shoot because at first you're like, oh, he won't shoot her. And then you're like, oh, no, it's really actually the baby that he cares about more.
Yeah.
And then as an audience, you start to think like, wow, why do we actually care? And I'm getting into some pro-choice and pro-life arguments here, but I think it's essential to women's lives. You know, it is a thing that we are part of. Inherently, because we are the ones that carry the babies. And I think it's an interesting thing to bring up. I also think that the death of one of the the women, the women motorcycle gang, there's the one woman that they use as bait, and then she's like a badass, you know, who I was like, oh man, she's rad. And then she gets killed. I'm like, God damn it.
Yeah,
like,
I didn't want to. So yeah, she was great.
But the way she is killed was so interesting to me because it's the people eater, the guy with the weird nose that eats her, or that kills her, excuse me, pardon the pun. And he runs her over. He like the guy, he takes the wheel and hits the gas and is like having this crazy experience killing her. It's like, I just love that depiction of specifically of a man killing a woman because it's very like fetishized, but it's on him, you know, like we're not experiencing what he's experiencing. Do you get what I'm saying? Like, so many movies make the death of women like a romanticized thing. You know, like women dying is like, well, oh God, how could he deal with his life because she died? You know, and we're supposed to be part of that. But in this, it was like, wow, look at how gross this is. I might be whacked on sinus medication right now. But that's the way I interpreted that scene.
I see what you're saying. I guess I didn't look that I didn't look that deep into that there. I was just
so deep into this movie.
You are like levels, layers.
There's a couple other things that I wanted to bring up. I love that there was like a silent agreement between Max and Furiosa about what they were going to do so many times.
Yeah.
Like, they just look at each other and they're like, yes, this is what we're doing.
Oh,
I loved
sure.
seeing a woman and a man equally fighting together, agreeing with each other. I loved it.
Mm-hmm.
And I also, the last episode when we talked about this, I was like kind of down on the women survivors. And watching it the second time, I was totally wrong. Like 100% wrong. I love that each of them sort of represents a different way of coping with what happened to them. Like, one of them is immediately like, I want to go back. This is not good. You know, like the PTSD situation of like, no. He was nice to us. We should just go back.
Yeah.
And then the Zoe, anyway, the one gal's like becomes like the fighter. And she's like, no, I'm not doing like she's going to fight. The pregnant woman becomes the martyr. And Elvis's granddaughter becomes like a caregiver to somebody, has a human connection with somebody that didn't have a human connection before. And I also really loved that the women start like whispering whenever they're talking. They're like talking to each other because that's probably how they had to talk to each other all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And then the longer that they're out of that prison that they were in, the louder they get and the more expressive they get and the more space they take up in the world. And the Hux, the war boy, he starts out super loud, like yelling, witness me, all this stuff. And the more the movie goes on and the more time he spends with different kinds of people, specifically women, the quieter he gets and the more subtle he gets. And when he dies, doesn't have to yell for witness. He already has a witness because he has a relationship with someone instead of it just all being about violence and death and murder.
Yeah. Say that shit, girl. That's what's up. I do remember something that we had talked about on the last episode, or something I wanted to bring up on the last episode, and it's just with Furiosa, because we had talked about this after we saw, I think after we saw Gravity, and I was like, Sandra Bullock, her character, is she, do we add her now to the list of Sarah Connor, Ellen Ripley? Is Furiosa? Is she now on this list of...
Absolutely.
All right, here's another amazing badass.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
I think so, too. And I was watching it thinking, like...
Amazing badasses with one arm as well. I have another category of one-arm badasses.
Because Sarah Connor's a one-arm badass, temporarily.
Badass. Yep.
And I would say this also about Charlize And we have to wrap it up, unfortunately. But I was watching it thinking, like, this woman, this character is a lesbian. And I say that with a capital L. I don't mean that that character is or isn't a lesbian. I don't know if she is or not.
Okay.
It's irrelevant to me.
Okay.
But her, the way she is styled is characteristically, stereotypically a lesbian, and it is so awesome to see.
Okay.
And I'm so stoked that so many people are into it, because how often are women wearing a crew cut and they still get to be a woman and get to be macho? Right? Mm. Not very often. And people don't typically react to it very often. So I love getting to see this, like, lesbian archetype at the center of a film that people are, like, losing their shit about.
I thought she was Mexican.
Yeah. She's a Mexican lesbian. It's like a cultural representation of lesbians. You know what I mean? It's like, if you saw that and you're like, oh, Charlize is playing a lesbian in this movie, you'd buy it. You'd mm-hmm. be like, yeah, that makes sense. She's got a crew cut. Like, to me, it's like, it's just an essence kind of a thing
okay.
that I connected with. And it doesn't, I don't mean that, oh, this is what everyone should think. I just mean, for me, it's nice to see that representation, whether she is or not.
Yeah.
It's beautiful to me. And I'll add this last thing. I love, and I didn't notice this the first time I saw it, when Hux is, like, so sad. When he, like, is in the car with Immortan Joe, and Immortan Joe's like, I will carry you myself to Valhalla, and he, like, sprays him, and Hux is, like, losing his mind, and then he just falls, and Immortan Joe's like, mediocre, and just flies away. I, like, love that part, but then Hux is, like, so sad, because he's like, I thought I was destined for something great, all these things were happening, and then he realizes he was. It's just not what he thought it was going to be. And I love that, like, so many people get to be involved in this story, and it's so rich. It's just, God, it's a beautiful action film.
Now I'm remembering why maybe I didn't give it a 5. I think I had a problem with Hux a little bit, his kind of, like, storyline.
Yeah.
It was just going somewhere.
I think you should watch it again.
And then I wasn't, I didn't like
I think
where
if
it ended
you
up.
Watch it again, you will enjoy it more, because right. he actually gets to change a lot.
He does, yeah. And I do like that. I mean, he's at the beginning of the movie, I do not like him
yeah.
at all.
Who
but
does?
There's a moment in the movie where I was like, hey, I'm kind of like cheering for this guy. Word.
Yeah.
And then there's another change that happens. There's the relationship that he has with the girl with yes. Elvis's granddaughter,
yes.
right?
Yep.
Just like the final couple of beats that they have, I don't know. I just felt like this. I need to see it again.
You got to see it again. Because it's not as clunky as you think it is. I guarantee you.
Yeah, it felt, I don't know.
It's pseudo-romance, but it's not really romance. It's
yeah.
two people that didn't haven't been able to have connections with members of the opposite sex
mm-hmm.
being able to just be around each other and take care of each other in a fleeting moment, which I really liked about the movie, too. Because originally I was like, ugh, who cares? But they're not actually, like, in love. They're just caretaking.
Yeah, you know? But there and is kind of, like, a love aspect to it, no?
That's what I mean. Caretaking is love. You know,
but I mean that there's also kind of, like, is there something?
I feel like no, because okay. he's from her line or whatever. Because they say he's a redhead and she's a redhead and there's, like, I think there's, like, this.
Oh, and the blood thing, too. I didn't get the blood thing. With Mad Max's blood.
Oh, the universal donor thing.
Yeah. See, now I'm remembering why I didn't give it a 5. Now it's all coming
There's
back.
A lot of things. And I swear to God, this is the last thing I'm going to say. I love in the beginning when Mad Max, like, catches up with them and he ultimately gets in the rig and stuff. And they're, like, bathing in the water. And it's like a car wash, like a 70s slow motion car wash thing yeah. of, like, oh, my God, look at these hot women. And because I was like, oh, God, you got to be kidding me. But really what he's, like, looking at is the water. Like, he's not actually looking at those women going, yeah. like, oh, my God, they're so hot. He's like, water. Like, that's actually what's being fetishized in that shot. And I think it's a great joke. It's just a beautiful joke. I give it a 5. Ricky's sticking with
whatever review I gave before until I see it again.
He sees it again.
Yeah.
And then we'll review it again. No, we won't. But I just wanted to talk about it some more because we really loved it around these parts. So that's our review of Mad Max Fury Road. Let's see. What do you want to leave the people with, Ricky?
If I could leave the people with something, I would say, it's June. It's June 1st today. So the summer's coming. There's a great song called A Place to Go by DJ Day. And that really lets you know, I don't know. It's like that, hey, everything's going to be all right. We're going to be all right for the next couple months. A Place to Go by DJ Day.
Beautiful.
Talk to that.
Awesome. I have a couple things. As I said earlier in the show, I watched the documentary Anita, which is on Netflix streaming. I think it's an HBO documentary, but I could be completely incorrect on that. But it's a documentary about Anita Hill, who in, I think it was 91, was her witness testimony for Clarence Thomas to be admitted to the Supreme, as a Supreme Court justice. He was the first African-American. Became like a huge media circus. I remember when it happened, and it was a big turning point in sexual assault reporting and sexual harassment in the workplace. And it's an amazing documentary because it actually shows you how intense, how insane, and how horribly she was treated. And they were treating her as though she was the one on trial, making her repeat the things that she said, Clarence Thomas said to her, just like humiliating her, basically. And then, so anyway, there's a lot of interviews with her nowadays. And the great thing about the documentary is the first half is like sort of inciting this anger and frustration and like fire around women in the workplace and how we've been treated traditionally and how horribly she specifically was treated. But then the end of the documentary shows you how much she did, like how much that affected the world for women, women of color, women not of color, women, all women, in the workplace, outside of the workplace. She's made a huge impact. And so watch the documentary because it actually has a light at the end of the tunnel. You know, like, it feels like, ugh, I don't know if I can watch this. I'm just angry. And then you get halfway through and you realize, like, oh, it meant something. It did actually, something happened from this, and this was important. And her life was affected negatively, but also positively. So that did relate to the Avengers conversation, but I can't remember how. So I think it was, oh, what I was going to say is that it seems like her impact was terrible. And it probably was for her, and probably still is. She probably is still dealing with that, but she seems to have gotten through it. And while it was this negative thing that people like shit on her basically and made her feel terrible, it did have a good outcome. And so what I was saying about including women just for the sake of including women, sometimes you just have to. Sometimes you just have to like bite the bullet and do something you think is terrible or stupid or going to be hard because it means something, you know? And then I watched this other documentary. I've been on a documentary kick as I am sick. And I watched this documentary called a documentary about Doc Ellis, who was a pitcher in the 70s for the Pittsburgh Pirates, African-American pitcher who played with Roberto Clemente. They actually played a full roster on field of all black players once, which like had never happened before. Fascinating in the documentary, but he is known specifically for throwing a no-hitter on LSD. So watch that documentary, because it's pretty fascinating. There's also a beautiful scene in that movie that includes a letter from Jackie Robinson to him, to Doc Ellis. He reads it aloud, and it's incredibly powerful and moving. It's a beautiful scene. Anyway, then my last thing is that since Ricky was talking about June, summer is here. I am doing a little thing that I like to call No Junk June. No Junk June. No Junk June. I am taking June off from eating junk food. Like, I'm not going to eat sugary stuff or any of that crud for a month because I've been eating a lot of crud. So if anybody wants to join me in No Junk June, just tweet at me. I'm going to keep trying to do this, and it's going to be real hard because I sure do like candy these days. But yeah, I'm going to do No Junk June. So hashtag it, No Junk June. And next week, we're going to be reviewing The Core, which is available on Netflix and oddly, over 2 hours long.
Wait, 14 minutes?
Yeah. We're going to be reviewing that in preparation to eventually review San Andreas when we can get to the theater. So until next week.
I am Coco Bellao.
And I am Pamble Moose. And this has been Wham Bam Pow. Wham Bam Pow is recorded at Max Fun Studios by Lindsay Pavlis. Thank you, Lindsay. Thank you, Max Fun. And thank you for listening.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned.
Listener supported.